Okay, I skipped church.
I am Robert, son of the Most High God. Amen. And he told me this right here. And I was like, okay, I'll go back and do some more stuff. I'll go back to volunteering. I'll go back to church. I'll do what I'm supposed to do. But it's an amazing thing. He uses whatever else in the world he needs to communicate to you. Even a Disney movie. And this was a pretty amazing thing. It was pretty impactful in my life. And I hope that is to you, because who are you, right? Well, let's jump right in with this, who are you? Let's go to Genesis 1, 26 and 27. I have put different versions on my sheet, and I told Grayson he can go ahead and just use the New King James. So as I read, they'll be a little different than what's on the screen here. But this is the King James Version, 1:26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. From this statement right here, we need to recognize that mankind, male and female, mankind is the visible representation of our invisible God. I mean, the Bible tells us, God said, "I made man in my image." So we are the visible representation. If one truly wants to know what God looks like, I would say look in a mirror, but when we look in the mirror, we're like, oof, sometimes, but we are the image of God. Look in a mirror. Look at our fellow Christians around us. The crowning jewel of God's creation is mankind. And we're the only creation that God did that was made in his image. That is phenomenal. It's amazing. Let's go check in a few more of these. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. Some of this might be a little disjointed because it was quickly put together, but it'll get to a point. "Indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who always does good and who never sins." See Romans 3:23. "Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard." Okay. God created us in his image. Then we sinned as mankind. One of the tragic results of our sin is that we no longer are the proper image of God. We are stained. We're marred. We have changed that image of the perfect God. The relationship with our Creator was broken. And our history shows that mankind really doesn't have the ability to live a sinless and righteous life on our own. But you know what? God loved his creation so much that he sent his only begotten Son to bring us back to a right standing with him. To bring us back into this relationship. Let's go to Colossians 1:15. The version I have here is the expanded version, so I'm going to read it because I like it. It says, "The Son, who is the image of, exactly like the visible representation of the invisible God. He ranks higher than everything that has been made of all creation." That's who Jesus Christ is. So God sent his only begotten Son to restore us, to redeem us. Let's go to Galatians 3:13 and 14. "So the law put a curse on us. Once we had sinned, we have now been put under the law, and that law is a curse. But Christ took away that curse. So God loved us so much, He sent His Son and took away the curse of the law from us. Took it from us. He changed places with us and put Himself under that curse. It is written in the Scriptures, everyone whose body is displayed on a tree is cursed. Christ did this so that God's blessings promised to Abraham might come to the non-Jews. This blessing comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus died so that we could have the Spirit that God promised and receive this promise by believing. So by believing in Jesus Christ, we can receive the promises that God has given us. Also, the promises that were given to Abraham are now ours through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Galatians 3, 26 and 29. You were all baptized into Christ. So the believers, when we believe in Jesus Christ and accept Him, you were baptized into Jesus Christ. And so you were all clothed with Christ. This shows, now this is really cool, this shows that you are all children of God. You are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, in Christ, there is no difference between Jew and Greek. There is no difference between slaves and freemen. There is no difference between male and female. Listen to that. There's no difference between male and female to God. You are all the same in Christ Jesus. You belong to Christ. You are Abraham's descendants because we believe in Jesus Christ. You get all, doesn't leave anything out, all of God's blessings because of the promise that God made to Abraham. Because we are heirs through Abraham, through the blood of Jesus Christ. The glorious truth of the New Testament is that our restoration, our relationship, is restored between us and God through Jesus Christ, who is the perfect image of God. His works restores the image of us sinners and establishes us as co-heirs with Christ. So far, you guys are looking pretty good. All right, when Jesus was here, He went about and He told parables to the people. And in Luke, I don't have this one highlighted, so I'm just going to paraphrase this one. But if you want the references, it's Luke chapter 15, and it's verses 11 through 32. And this is about the prodigal son, or I don't know about the prodigal son. There's two sons, and one of the sons goes to his father and says, "I want my inheritance now." And the father says, okay, and gives him the inheritance. And he goes off and squanders it on prostitution, drugs, or whatever in those time frames, and just destroys his life. He spends everything he has, and he becomes destitute, starving. And he said, you know what? Even my father's slaves have it better than I have it right now. So I'm going to go back to my dad. So I'm going to pick up right here. I don't know what verse this is, but it's in the group. He said, while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. He felt sorry for his son. So the father ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against God and against you. I'm not good enough to be called your son. Now, look. Listen to this. The father didn't even respond to that statement. This son came and he's like, I'm sorry, forgive me, forgive me. And the dad just, like he never said it. He said, but the father said to his servants, hurry, bring the best clothes and put them on him. Also put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get our fat calf and kill it. Then we can have a feast and celebrate. What happened to the part? I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm not worthy. Just boom, ignored it completely. My son was dead, but now he is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found. So they celebrated. Well, that's only half the story. There is another son. And the other son stayed there with his parents, never left the farm, never left the place. He heard the partying going on, and he's like, what's happening? And the servant said, well, your brother's back. This son gets mad. He's like, I'm not going there. I'm not going to do it. The older son was angry and would not go into the feast. So his father went out and begged him to come in. The son said to his father, I have served you like a slave for many years. Some of us think we do that sometimes, but I have always obeyed your commands. But you never even killed a young goat for me to have the feast with my friends. But your other son has wasted all your money on prostitutes. Then he comes home and you kill the fat calf for him? I can just see it, you know. I'm just my brother now. I've got a brother, so I can just... The father said to him, son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. Those of us that are with Christ and we're with him all the time and doing things all the time, we are that person's home, and sometimes we feel like we're neglected or not favorably looked upon. But right here, all that I have is yours. We had to celebrate and be happy because your brother was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost, but now he is found. This is simply amazing. This is a story from Jesus specifically. We are children of God. And all that he has is ours through the covenant that he made through Abraham. And that we are heirs of through the blood of Jesus Christ. Love, this is very profound, okay? Listen really close. Love is not something that God does. It is who God is. And because of who he is, God loves you. Period. There is absolutely nothing, not one thing, that you or I can do to earn God's love. We are already and always loved simply because God made us and he loves each and every one of his creations. This one's really cool. There is nothing that you can do to make God love you more. You know, we all try to work and we all try to do things to make God, you know, maybe shine his glory upon us a little bit. There's nothing you can do to make him love you more. Remember, all that he has is yours. Here's the best part. There's absolutely nothing you can do to cause God to love you less than he loves you right now. You cannot do anything to make God say, you know what, I don't like that guy anymore. He loves you so much, he sent his only begotten Son to restore you, to redeem you back to right standing with him, to bring back your image that we tarnished to be the image of the invisible God. I want you to let this stuff sink in. It's amazing how much God loves us. I have personally felt distant from God when I've done stupid things. Maybe I didn't read or I didn't go to church or there's sin in my life. And I was like, oh, God's not going to do anything for me. But I don't want you to forget this truth. And if we can, let's pull that up. 1 Peter 4:8. I have the NIV version, so I'm going to read it. It is, love covers over a multitude of sins. Okay, so God's love covered over any sins that I did. It says, no matter what you've done, God's love and forgiveness are bigger than your biggest sin. When you finally and fully understand that God actually loves you, that's the key. It's like, we think, oh, I've done something, he's going to punish me, or done something, he's going to turn his back on me. No, no, no. God actually loves you. Period. When you realize that and you get it down in your heart, it changes everything about your life. Everything. Being loved opens the doors of our heart so that we can accept the things of God. It opens the doors of our heart, removing the locks and the bolts that we keep and isolate ourselves. You hear that? We isolate ourselves. Because in that second video clip you saw, he says, I've never left you. Even though I felt like I've been isolated or things are not right, God says, I've never left you. Not one second, not one breath that you've taken. I've never left you. Isaiah 43, 25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now, why does God cover over our sins? Why does he blot them out? He does it for his own sake, because he wants to be with us. He wants that relationship good. And sin cannot be with the presence of God. So he blots out our sins. He will not remember them. That's amazing. Psalms 103, 10 through 13. He does not deal with us according to our sins. So when we feel like we've done something wrong, and that we're no longer going to be the child of God that we're supposed to be, he doesn't deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. He's taken our sins, Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, and removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, from us. It's not tied to us any longer. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Now, language again, Old Testament time frame. Fear means reverence him. It's not that you're afraid of God. It means that I respect and look up to and reverend God. So for those who respect, look up to, and reverend God, he removes their sins as far as the east is from the west. Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. And I pray that you and all God's holy people will have the power to understand the greatness of Christ's love. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep that love is. Christ's love is greater than anyone can ever know. God loves us, and so does Christ. Christ is God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But I pray that you will be able to know that love. So here's the thing. He prayed that because we do have the ability to know this love. It's in our hearts, and he unlocks this heart so that we can experience that love and get it in ourselves. Start to experience and walk in it. Then you can be filled with everything God has for you. How can you be filled with everything that God has for you? Experience the love of God. Once you experience that love, then you can be filled with everything God has for you. Romans 10:4. For Christ has already accomplished. It's done. He's already done it. He's already done it. It's already accomplished the purpose for which the law was given. Now, I was raised in some country churches and some other churches and independent Baptists and then Southern Baptists. And they always bring back, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. Look, Christ has already accomplished the purpose of the law. As a result, all who believe in Him, all who believe in Him are made right with God. You see, He's bringing back our image. Bringing back that image where He created us in His likeness. And we are made right with God by believing in Jesus Christ and the work that He's already accomplished. Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. And He's brought us back to a right standing with God. Our spirits are reborn, right? And we are recreated in the image of God. So my question to you tonight is, who are you? Who are you? That little monkey said, who are you? I am Robert Womack, a son of the Most High God. And you guys all can say that, but don't say Robert Womack. All right. Who are we to God? I don't have any more verses that I'm going to show up here, but I'm going to go through a list of verses. And if you want this list, just let me know. I'll get it to you. But I want you to listen to these. I'm going to go through them very quickly. Mark 16:16. If you believe and are baptized, you are saved. That's a matter of fact. If you believe and are baptized. Psalms 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So? Oh, come on now. That was funny. So, right? I am the redeemed of the Lord. I don't have to say so. Whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. God has redeemed me from the enemy, so I am the redeemed of the Lord. So are you. Romans 8:14-17. You are a son of God and an heir of God with Christ. That's who you are. You are a son of God. Romans 8:31-32. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He didn't spare His own Son for you. But He gave Him up for all of us. How will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? 2 Corinthians 5:17. You are a brand new creation that never was. When you accept Christ, you became a brand new creation. Past is forgotten and everything is new. Everything's new. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God's Spirit lives inside of you. It doesn't say that His Spirit's going to come and go. In fact, the Bible tells us He will never leave us nor forsake us. So when you believe in Christ Jesus, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit is inside of you, period. Whether you feel it, sense it, know it or experience it. God said it's there, it's there. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has given you the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Each of you has the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. It's there, whether you are exhibiting it or not. You've already got it. First, this is whole chapters, okay? So the whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 12 and Galatians 5, these are great chapters, but they tell you that you have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have them. They're already inside of you. Jesus Christ tells us that we will receive as we believe. And if I sit here and say, well, yeah, you know, maybe he comes and goes, or maybe I don't have this or that, well, then I'm not going to exhibit anything. All things are possible to those who believe. The Holy Spirit is inside of you, and that is the power of God. Lives inside of you. The Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit. There's only one. The same Holy Spirit that indwelled into Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ used that power and did every miracle, healed everyone that he did, raised every dead person, and in fact, it's the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that lives inside of you. Now, that power is inside of you. 1 John 4:15. This one. You have God living inside of you. Is God weak and feeble and not capable of doing anything? No, he lives inside of you. So you have the power of the creation of the world living inside of you. In fact, through the Holy Spirit, you have the knowledge of everything that existed or that has been created is inside of you. And he's talking to you all the time, whether we hear him or not. We hear him, I tune him out. I turn the radio up a little louder. How stupid. 2 Corinthians 1:20. You hear a resounding yes to all of God's promises. That's who you are. You hear a resounding yes to all of God's promises. 1 Corinthians 6:11. You are washed clean, made holy, and made right with God. Jesus did this for you, for me. You have been made holy. You didn't do it. You have been made righteous. You didn't do it. Your actions, you didn't do it. You have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. So why are we trying to do it now? We all are trying. Jesus did it for you. You need to accept it. Accept it. Romans 8:1-2. You are free from the law. And you are not judged guilty. Jesus Christ took the curse of the law upon himself and freed you from that. You are not judged by the law. We were redeemed from the curse of the law. And all the curses that are in the law in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you'll just read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and read the curses, those are not yours. And there's a really cool verse at the end, near the end of it. It says that all of these sicknesses and diseases will come upon the nation of Israel, which was a curse. And God, since he freed you from that, he said, none of these diseases or sicknesses that were put upon Egypt will come upon you. And any disease that's not listed here, he covered them all. You are free from them. And if you're experiencing sickness and disease, it's not because of God. Jesus Christ freed us from that. Colossians 1:22. We can come into God's presence without sin, fault, or blame. because you're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of going into the presence of God. He created us in His image. We tarnished that. And He said, I can't have that. My creation, I want them to be with me. He sent His only Son. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. This is it again. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion, okay? If you don't think you have power, God created you and said this about you. They have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Don't you know that sickness and disease is bacteria and parasites and things? You have dominion over that. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them. We are in the image of God, and we have dominion. Accept that in your life. And if you don't try to use it, you won't ever experience it. I don't know. We're doing okay on time? Yeah? Okay. I'll tell you a little story. I had read about this dominion thing, and I'm like, yeah, all right. Okay? Come on. So, I don't like bugs. They're creeps. You know, they're creepy things. So I said, all right, I've got dominion over the bugs. I said, bugs, you're not allowed in my house. If you come in my house, you will die. So I decree in the name of Jesus, bugs can't come in my house. And then I go out in the yard and I walk around the outside of the yard and I said, bugs, you cannot come into my yard. I don't want you in my yard. No, there are bugs in my yard. But it's a funny thing. The bugs come in our house and we see them come in and it's like, where'd that bug go? I don't know. Tomorrow it's laying dead over here. So there's dead bugs in the house. So it's like, okay. Did it happen because I decreed it? Of course it did. I have dominion over those stupid things. Well, then Wendy's out in the yard, and she's in our driveway, and the neighbor is out in their yard, and the neighbor's just, and she sees Wendy, and she says, well, do you see all this stuff? And gnats everywhere. And Wendy's like, yeah, I see them. I say, do you have that in your yard? Wendy's looking around. There's a line right down our driveway, and there's not a bug on our side. And they're all flying on that side. Wendy comes in and says, you told them not to come in our yard. It's funny, you know, but did you try? You know, I mean, if God said you can do it, try it. Right? Genesis 11:6. Now that you have a mind to do, nothing. Nothing that you have a mind to do will be impossible for you. Nothing that you have a mind to do will be impossible for you. Nothing you have a mind to do will be impossible for you. How many times we say, I can't do that. I don't know. I'll never learn that. I can't do that. No. God gave you the mind to be able to do it. You were created in His likeness, in His image, in His representation. Well, He's not powerless. You're not powerless. Nothing you have a mind to do will be impossible for you. Psalms 34:7. If we feel like we can't do something, God even covered that. He said, the Lord's angels are encamped around you and they protect you. In fact, Hebrews 1:14, you have angels sent by God to serve those who are going to be saved. This is who you are. This is who you are. Psalms 23. God makes you lie down in green pastures. where everything is taken care of. I mean, where all your needs are. He makes you lie down there. He makes you. You don't stumble upon it. Then he leads you to still water. You got to follow him to peace and tranquility in your life. And he makes goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. It's pretty amazing. That's who you are. Psalms 34:19. God will deliver you from all troubles. Come on now. Isaiah 49:16. I drew a picture of you on my hand. You are always before my eyes. You know what? Our image is always before God. I don't even like to look at me. Matter of fact, I'm trying to go between Elvis or Johnny Cash right now. Can't decide which one to do. Told my mom, Billy Ray Cyrus, you know, we went to the Mullocks used to be. She said she'd come over at night and cut my hair. 1 John 5:4-5. You are a world overcomer. You know what? We can't live a defeated life. We are world overcomers. In fact, we are more than victorious in this world. Through Jesus Christ. Is that a bug? No bugs, right? Psalms 37:4. When you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. That's who you are. Revelation 5:10. You remember seeing a little video of Simba? You have been made kings and priests, and you shall reign on this earth. Amen. You have been made. You know what? We need to learn what a king is, and we need to start living up to who God says we are. Christ Jesus is our king, and he came to, and he served. He took our sin debts for us. He took it and replaced us. Genesis 1:31. This is the last verse. Then God saw everything that he had made. Come on. And indeed, it was very good. When God sees you, it is very good. Now, who are you? Who are you? I want you to claim it in your life. I want you to confess it in your life. Because you are the words that come out of your mouth. God loves you, period. He is a good, good Father. And He loves us. I thank you for being here tonight. And I thank Pastor David for letting me again come back here to glorify our King, our Lord, our God, because He's a good God. He loves you completely, and He does not withhold anything. That's who you are. That's who you are. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that your word spells out to us what your expectations are of us and what you see when you look at us. Father, open the eyes of our hearts so that we can see ourselves the way you see us. So that we can see the image of the invisible God when we look in the mirror. Help us to portray who you are in this world. And as we walk, that we do the good works that you've created us to do. Father, we know that you are orchestrating our steps and putting us where we need to be. I am here tonight to glorify you, through your own words. We praise your mighty name, Father, and I ask that your Holy Spirit that indwells in each of us and lives inside of us now would touch our hearts. And as we sleep and as we dream tonight, that you would help us to dream the glory that you've put back upon us, the righteousness, the holiness, and the cleanliness that you have washed us with. Help us to experience that feeling, that knowledge, and that knowing of who you said we are. Help us to recognize that we are world overcomers and that we're already victorious. And most of all, that we are loved, that our image is before you. In fact, Father, help us to see your house and see our picture on the mantle. Father, we're right there with you all the time. We praise your mighty name, and I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to glorify you and Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.